Good morning and welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ's online Bible study class in Soldotna, Alaska. And today is July the 26th. It's our last Sunday in July. Where did this month go? We are continuing in our Bible study in the Old Testament, and we're beginning in a new chapter today, 1 Kings and chapter 1. And going forward, you'll find this Bible study listed as the King's Bible Study online. When you go to look at your Bible teachings, it'll be listed as such. So we'll begin with question one. Question one is, what do these verses tell us about the health of King David? King David is estimated to be about 70 years old at this time. What else do we know of Abishag? And the verses of scripture for today are verses 1 through 4. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. To begin with, I want to give you a little background on the book of Kings. And the book of 1 and 2 Kings were originally joined in one book. And it covers almost 500 years, from 970 BC to 586 BC, thereabouts. These books present the story of the history of Israel from the death of David until the Judean deportation to Babylon, and it is the story of the rise and fall of kingdoms. Now, we don't know who the author of Kings was, but Jeremiah, according to Jewish tradition, is the one that has been said to have written these books. And it's possible, it just doesn't state so. So it just is something I picked up from reading through the Jewish encyclopedia and the Jewish history. So these books of history pick up where 2 Samuel left off. Israel is united under King David, who appoints his son Solomon to rule after him. Solomon is blessed with wisdom and charged with building the temple to the Lord in Jerusalem. God tells Solomon to remember him and follow his father David's example. Unfortunately, we see Solomon is unfaithful to God in his later years, and God divides the kingdom after his death. Sadly, the king with a divided heart leaves behind a divided kingdom. And we all know and have studied how a divided kingdom or a divided family or a divided church cannot stand. Without unity, you cannot stand. Going on, the northern 10 tribes follow Solomon's former warrior, Jeroboam, and the tribes of Judah and Benjamin remain loyal to the throne of David. Now, I'm giving you a lot of background history here so that you can take notes and be able to refer back to or just get a whole picture of where we're going to be going and heading in these two books here in Kings. The books document the way the kings lead God's people to worship. Each king is remembered according to whether or not they lead Israel to worship God in Jerusalem or worship idols elsewhere. Neither the northern kingdom, which is Israel, called Israel, nor the southern kingdom, which is considered Judah, keep the law of Moses and worship God at Jerusalem. Therefore, both of these kingdoms and these people are going to be taken captive by the enemy nations. Israel will eventually fall to Assyria, and Judah will fall to Babylon. And we're going to be looking into that in the book of 2 Kings. This is just what God had promised would happen if they disobeyed God's law. And it's in the book of Deuteronomy. God spelled it out for them, never left anything to the imagination, and he spells it out for us today. God hasn't changed. In Kings, we're also going to learn about the building of the temple. And we're going to learn about the splitting of the monarchy into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel against Judah. We're going to learn about the sins of the kings. And we'll learn about the great prophets of old and the justice of God. In these books, we'll study into the ministries of Elijah and Elijah. I really look forward to that, these great old prophets. And it's almost a third of the book is devoted to the work that they were doing for God. So we're going to be covering a lot of that. Again, the book of Kings gives us the history of Israel during the period of the monarchy from the closing days of David's rule until the time of the Babylonian exile. The first half of 1 Kings shows us the life of Solomon, David's son. Under his leadership, Israel rises to the peak of her size and glory, and we're going to see that in the scriptures. Solomon's great accomplishments, including the unsurpassed splendor of the building of this temple for God that he constructs in Jerusalem, brings him worldwide fame and respect. And we'll look into that a little further. For the next century, the book of Kings traces the twin histories of two sets of kings and two nations of disobedient people who are growing indifferent to God and to God's prophets and God's ways. Kind of sounds like our world today, doesn't it? We basically have two sets of people in the United States, the left, the right, political parties, and they're constantly fighting back and forth. And each group thinks they're right. Just like the Jewish people and these tribes hundreds of years ago, they fought with one another. Today, people are indifferent to God's words and to God's ways of living. Not everyone, but look at the news. The natural man has not changed in all these centuries. The natural man wants what it wants, when it wants it, and believes that they're right. That was a scripture we studied last week. So this gives us a kind of a condensed overview of the book of Kings and the many topics and many more that we're going to be studying as we go into it. Back to the verses of scripture and the question, what do these verses of scripture tell us about the health of King David? I'm sure you all would have a lot of input on this because many of us now have experience having grown older. So in verse 1, it says that David was old and stricken in years. Now, around 70 years old does not sound that old, but after a lifetime of being a fugitive, living in caves, being exposed to the elements, fighting hard-fought battles over and over battles that finally had taken their toll on his aging body. And we previously studied this in 2 Samuel, and I want to go to that scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Because we need to remind ourselves why David no longer went to battle with his men. It wasn't because he didn't want to. It was because of his failing health. Reading 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. There's a reason why he waxed faint. And Ishbonab, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. They thought that they had killed him. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, "Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." So the people knew David's health was failing, and they helped him to make a very difficult decision. And that was for David no longer to go to battle. Under similar circumstances in regards to health, that our Pastor Buck also is no longer able to fulfill certain duties due to his failing health. But that doesn't mean that God's people are still not used by God in the positions that God has set them in for. With age and health conditions come changes, changes in our lives, but God's work will always continue. God doesn't stop his work because you have a health issue. It's going to go on. God will continue with his work. Going back to verse 1 in 1 Kings chapter 1, it says that David could not get warm. Even when he was covered with clothes and blankets, nothing could keep him warm. Now, I looked into this, and David's condition could be called hypothermia. It doesn't just happen when you get cold and fall into water or are exposed to the elements. It can happen, and it's not unusual for it to happen in older people. King David could not generate enough body heat on his own to maintain a healthy body temperature. Now, if you've ever been to a nursing home, you might notice that it's always warmer there than what we are used to. And I worked in a nursing home for a couple of years, and in the winter months, I had to dress like it was summer for me because it was so warm that I would be uncomfortable. But the residents were perfectly comfortable with the heat turned up because, as I just said, that is a condition of older people. Sometimes it's a condition of any age, because I do know people who have problems with circulation and they're a younger person and their hands might be extremely cold due to not very good circulation. And also in nursing homes, you'll notice that a lot of times if you grab someone's hand or shake their hand or touch their hand, which they love that physical contact, that you'll feel that they're so cold. Their hands are always so cold, or they'll be sitting under a blanket, even though it can be over 80 degrees in their residence. So not uncommon that this would be going on in David's life due to his lifestyle and where he is at in his life, in his age. Now, in verse 2, it says, David's servants recommended for a young woman to serve him and care for him. Now, this was not an unusual recommendation, although for today in our lives it would be, because it's not a part of our customs. But this was considered proper medical treatment in the ancient world, in the time that David lived. And I found this in the writings also in the Antiquities of the Jews, that it's written as a medical treatment, a medical treatment. And then another side note on that, I looked into today, even in modern Palestine and in Egypt, due to the heat of the climate, that most people sleep in separate beds. Now, if you ever come from a hot climate like Illinois summers with high humidity, you'll understand that, why you would want to sleep in a separate bed. So it was not an uncommon practice for their recommendation for this young woman to take care of David in this manner. Now, you might ask yourself, or at least I asked myself, and I would have asked you this, why not one of David's wives or his many concubines to keep him warm? I mean, he had plenty of wives, plenty of concubines, even though he wasn't supposed to. Well, we have to look once again at the times that they were living in. Kings, queens, princes, servants. It was a whole different way of life. A queen could not be ordered by servants to stay and keep the king warm through the night. It wouldn't have been allowed. A queen was above the commands of those of a lesser rank. And though concubines had a lesser status than the wives, they too possessed a certain rank and dignity. To select one wife or concubine over another would be a mark of favoritism. Now think about this. Now we don't live like this, but they did. So it would be a mark of favoritism that would likely incite resentment and squabbling in the household. And David had enough problems in his household as it is. His many children by multiple mothers were a cause of great trouble for him and for his kingdom. So this was in some ways a very wise direction for these servants, or some of the writings will say in the Jewish tradition that they were called physicians. But nevertheless, servants or physicians, they recommended that a young woman come and take care of David for this problem. I want to just touch on how God had warned Israel through Moses, way back when, that any future king must not take many wives. So this is not something God said was okay. And that's why David does have a lot of problems in his household. But we've previously studied this, and it's back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you want to reference it later for yourself. And we also know that Solomon disobeyed this command also in his life, and we'll be studying into that later in these books of Kings. Now, Abishag's presence in David's bed was part of the customs of that time, and the writer states it as such. Now, the second part of the question is, what else do we know about Abishag, this young woman? She was a Shunammite, and a Shunammite was a part of the land that was given to Issachar, which was one of the sons of Israel of the 12 tribes. But that's all we know about her. There's no history about her. I couldn't find anything in the Jewish antiquities or their encyclopedia, their references. So we don't know anything except this, and then into the next chapter, which we'll be studying later, about her relationship with David's son. And that's going to be something very interesting to study into also. So we're not going to go into that at this point in time, but just there's not much to find out about her. Something to note about her is that we can see that in verse 4, she must have been a very tender, compassionate, loving person. She's a young woman, and she's taking care of this elderly, ailing man. And it says that she cherished the king and ministered to him. The book of Kings shows us how faithful God is to his people, even when they're failing in health or they're getting older. God doesn't leave you alone. We can see the full spectrum of God's dealings with Israel, from extreme blessing under Solomon to utter destruction and captivity in these books. And these blessings or curses were all promised to Israel, once again, in the book of Deuteronomy. But it was their choice. It was always God's people's choice to follow or not to follow. And that's no different for today, no different for us. But I want to look at some scriptures in the New Testament that show how God does take care of his people and how we take care of one another, because God has taught us that. So turn to Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2. How do we take care of one another? Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. It's all about loving one another, taking care of one another. Everything in the Word of God always brings us back to this point. Everything revolves around loving God, loving one another. Everything in the Word of God. And turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And another scripture about doing good to others. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So take care of your brothers and sisters and do good to your brothers and sisters and do good to all men, all mankind, everyone. Do good. Be kind. Care for one another in whatever way possible that you can, because it's pleasing to God. And we've been studying this, and God keeps bringing it to us through his word. So there's a reason why God always brings things through his word for his people. What is our takeaway from this Bible study today about David's health, about Abishag taking care of him? What did we learn about getting old or being sick? I learned that God will always take care of you, and God's people will always be there for you and for one another. Closing, and I know this is short, but it's what God has given me for you. I want to read a poem that I came across, and it relates to today's teaching and how it feels to have to let go of parts of your life that you used to be able to do when you were younger or when you were healthier, just as David and our pastor have experienced, and many of you are experiencing too. This is for you, and it's entitled, I Can Still Matter. I Can Still Matter. As time passes on, I turn the next page to discover a new me while I continue to age. I may no longer be who I was long ago, but I can still matter, that much I know. With a new set of tools I have gathered from time, I keep looking forward to more mountains to climb. My best is not over, as the skeptics might say. I just learn how to conquer in a much wiser way. So don't sell me short. I'm not nearly done. I can still matter. I've only just begun. And that is for each and every one of us. We still matter. We will always matter to God and to God's people. Praise God. I want to close, and I'll see you this afternoon at 1 o'clock online or in service. And continue to stay safe and just love one another. Amen.